Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Ayin Vav. We're already 6 or 7 lines down from the top with the words Ravashi Omar. Just to remind ourselves, in the previous shiur, we had 2 explanations of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had, the first part of the Mishnah said that if the woman is found to have mumin while she's post-arusa, but pre-nisuin, so then it's the father's obligation to go and bring a raya in order for her to collect the ksuba that the mumin occurred after she was in arusa, and therefore she can say to him, or the father can say to the husband, Nistakfa Sodeyu, that under your domain, the field got, so to say, destroyed, and therefore, you're responsible. Tough luck, you have to pay ksuba if you don't want to marry her. And the Seifa was dealing with the mumim occurred while she was already in a suah. And therefore, under that circumstance, the husband has to go and provide proof that the mumim occurred earlier, before she was in Arusa, in order for him not to have to pay the ksuba. So the first opinion was Tavra. There's no way that the Reisha could be the same opinion as the Seifa. There's a machlokas Rav Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Rav Yeshua would say, in both situations, you don't follow what the woman says. We basically don't take the chazak into account. And in both situations, the woman or her father would have to bring a raya. And in both cases, Rabbi Gamliel would say that no, the woman is believed, and the husband in each case would have to bring a raya. That was the first answer that we gave. Second answer was that the entire Mishnah is actually in accord with Rabban Gamliel, and that Rabban Gamliel is the opinion that says in the Reisha and in the Sefer that we normally would believe the woman, except there's an exception over here in this first scenario in the Reisha that the father of the woman has to bring the Raya. And that was the whole discussion, the complicated discussion we had at the end of yesterday's Shiz, which I'm not going to go over again. Now we have a third opinion how to understand our Mishnah. So the third opinion is Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Reisha, the Reisha is in fact, as Rashi points out in Dibra Maskel Ravashi Omar, Mahadir Naimel Okmo Kulu Gom Liel. He also says, like the second answer that we gave, that the entire Mishnah is really the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. That is the chazaka de gufo adifa, that we rely upon her, that her chazaka of having the mumim now means that they occurred after the erusin. However, why in the Reisha do we say that, in fact, the father has to bring a raya in order to collect the ksuba? So Rashi continues and he explains, V'Reisha lo hachi lo mahani chazaka de gufa. Why doesn't this chazaka of her guf say that now she has him, so now is the time that this occurred after she's in Arusa. Because as we're going to see in a moment, the taina is not hers, but her father is making it. Why? In this situation, if the man divorces her, so the ksuba goes to the father. That's why we now use this expression, which is a borrowed expression from the Gemara elsewhere, which deals with a child who is trying to make a taina after his father passed away, that the father was owed money by somebody. And he says, Mone li abba biyodech. My father, who is not alive, had a mona of his money in your possession. In other words, you owe him a mona of your money. The gabe of lo amrinon beguf shelah titihani cheskosa. So this is analogous to that. As we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, we're reading Rashi first, but we're basically saying that even though Gamliel says that normally chazaka de gufa zadifa and she should be able to collect, and it would be the proof upon the husband to show that the mumim occurred before the erusin, but here it's different. Why is that? Because now let's see inside the Gemara. Ravashi Amar Reisha Mone Liaba Biyodcha. This is analogous to the case, where, as I said, a child is coming to make a taina against another person, saying, "You owe my father money." Now that taina is not a definitive taina. He doesn't know that for certain. He can only say, I believe. It's a shema taina that my father is owed money by you, because he doesn't know for certain that it wasn't paid back or that there was some other explanation that the other person really doesn't owe the father money. So in that situation, he has to bring a raya, the son has to bring a raya, berura, that in fact he's owed the money. Otherwise, we say, hamosi mechaver olav raya. So too over here. The father of the girl has to bring a raya. And as the Tosfos Rid brings down, and you can see this in the top of the Tosfos Rid, he says, Reisha mona liaba biyodcha, and then he continues quoting the Gemara. The next piece of the Gemara is, V'seifa mona li biyodcha. What does this mean? So the Tosfos Rid explains, and I'll read it inside of the Tosfos Rid, but this is really the understanding that Rashi has here as well. And that is, Rav Ashi explains as follows, Pirush Rav Ashi, Nami okme kirabun gamliel, that the way Rav Ashi understands this is it's all Rabban Gamliel. The Reisha is Rabban Gamliel, and the Seifa is Rabban Gamliel. For Reisha, will we say that under normal circumstances, it would be chazaka de gufa adifa, and we would say that the husband, according to Rabbi Gamliel, would have to go and bring a raya that the mumim occurred before the erusin, or else the father would be able to go and collect the ksuba. The reason why that's different over here is because the reisha d'aminam baal mehemen, we say that the husband here is believed and not the father, is because mishum dahavale mona li'aba biyodcha. This is analogous to the case of the orphan saying that my father has $100 in your pocket. In other words, my father lent you money and you owe him the money. The child doesn't say that with a definitive status. He can't know for sure what happened. Only his father knows for sure what happens. And therefore, this is shehu tainas shema. So just like in the case of the orphan making the taina on behalf of his dead father, it's only a shema. So to over here, the father making the taina that he's entitled to the ksuba of his daughter because the mumim occurred after the erusin occurred is only a tainas shema. Sha'av toin lahotzi haksuva bishvilo. He's doing it for himself. So he's like a third party. The real sugya is between his daughter and her husband. And he's a third party. And she is not the one making the taina. And therefore, it's only considered a tainas shema. And therefore, in the reisha, it's not chazaka, the gufa adifa, because he's not the one with the chazaka. He's only arguing that his daughter has the chazaka. And therefore, according to Ravashi, the reisha is to be understood as follows. It's the father making a shema taina against the husband's vadai taina, and therefore, the father has to bring a raya that the mumim occurred after the erusin, and nistachbo sodehu, and then he can collect the ksuba. Otherwise, he can't collect the ksuba. As opposed to the sefer monali biyodcha, the woman is making the taina. This is after nisuin. She's now saying to the husband, no, this occurred after I was in Arusa, and therefore you have to go and prove that I'm wrong, because chazaka degufa adifa, and unless the husband can bring a raya that the mumim occurred pre-erusin, then she will collect the ksuba. That's how Ravashi understands this machlokas. It's all Rabbi Gamliel, and the only reason why Rabbi Gamliel doesn't say like he normally would, that the husband would have to go pay even in the reisha, is because the wife isn't the one making the taina. It's a father making the taina, and that's considered the shema to the Baal's bari. Okay, that's how Rav Ashi understands this. But the Gemara says, Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rabbia doesn't like this. Eisvei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rabbia l'Rav Ashi from the following braisa. He asks him, it says in the following braisa, Mode Rabbi Meir. That's the gersa that Rashi has. And again, as I said, we're going to learn this simple today like Rashi. We're going to follow along Rashi the whole way. Makes it a little bit easier. It's a tough sugya. Make it a little bit easier just to follow along with one opinion, not try to bring and keep on bringing in other opinions, but there are many different ways to understand this. Again, we'll learn it in a very simple way, Gemara and Rashi. So our gears in Rashi, which is the gears of a Gemara, is that this is Rav Meir being molded to the Chachamim in the following scenario. Tosa says the exact opposite, that it's a Chacham being molded to Rav Meir. But again, we'll keep it nice and simple. So we'll read our gears. Mode Rabbi Meir, Rav Meir is molded to the Chachamim. That if you're dealing with something like a congenital mum, a mum that clearly was there from birth and didn't arise now, and only question is, did it arise before the erusin or did it arise after the erusin? And Rav Meir is moda that if you're dealing with something that's a congenital type of a mum, sha'al ha'av l'havi raya, in that situation, the father would have to bring a raya that this, now on the simple level, we're going to say that what's he bringing a raya to? If it's a congenital mum, so we'll explain that he's going to have to bring a raya that the husband knew about it and was willing to accept it. But right now we don't know that. So right now we're saying sha'al ha'av l'havi raya, that it's the father's responsibility to bring a raya, some sort of a raya, that his point is right. And in that situation, he can collect the ksuba. Otherwise, the default position is that the husband would win. Now, that's the braisa that says that Rav Meir is moda to the Chachamim, that if it's a congenital type of a mum that was likely, that it was there, but from before she entered into his domain, it was there when she was solely in the father's domain, pre-erusin, so then the father would have to bring a raya. Now, why should that be true? V'amai, mona libiyotchehu, this girl in this situation is the one who's bringing forth this claim, and therefore she should win no matter what. According to Rav Ashi's understanding, when it's a monali biyodcha, we say chazaka degufa adifa, and she should win, even though it's a congenital type of a mum. So she doesn't win. So therefore, Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rabbia says to Rav Ashi, you're wrong. Clearly, she doesn't win, even though she can say monali biyodcha. Nevertheless, she has to be the raya, or else she loses. So therefore, Rav Acha, Breda Ravi, says to Rav Ashi, you're wrong. What does Rav Ashi answer? So Rav Ashi says, no, I'm right. Because Halacha Ma'aseinu, you know what we're dealing with over here? B'yaseiras. What does Rashi explain B'yaseiras means? Etzba Yaseiras. She has an extra finger. That's the mum that we're talking about. The Lecha Lememar, Liachar Eris in Nola. And there's no way to say that this suddenly came about in the middle of her life. This is something she was born with, obviously. And Rashi elsewhere tells us this is Yeser Etzba, either an extra finger, or Averechot, or another limb, something extra over here. Divadai. Achlotis Ares Hayuba, that clearly was congenital. It was there from birth. Congenital means from birth. Doesn't mean genetic. It means from birth. So it clearly, if it's an extra finger or an extra limb, it was there from birth. The Lekala Meimar, in this situation, there is no Chazokas Haguf, that you can say that the Chazokas the Guf is Adifa. No, it occurred from birth. It clearly occurred before she was Nistachfo Sodehu. Aye, then what's the Taina? Hilka. Ala Avl Haviraya. What? What's the raya the father's going to bring? It's clearly congenital. So the raya is, as the Gemara says, now let's continue reading the Gemara, Yeseris, if it's an extra finger, an extra aver, my raya might say, well, possibly could the father say to go and say that this occurred pre-Arison? Obviously he can't. So the Gemara says, you're right. There's nothing to talking about pre-Arison or post-Arison. He has to bring a raya if he wants to collect the ksuba, the raw that the husband saw this, then he fires who. And he was willing to accept it. As Rashi elsewhere says, V'i lo maisi baal, mehemon, de lo nispayis, o yomekel mekachtos. If he can't bring such a raya, the baal would be believed to say he didn't know about it. Because unless you could bring a raya that he knew about it, the default position is that he didn't know about it. And therefore, unless the father could bring a raya that the husband knew about it, and he accepted it, so then the husband will win, and he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. So that's how Rav Ashi would understand our Mishnah. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. What about the following scenario? Hamachlif Para Bechamor. Now what are we dealing over here with? It's one person, we'll call him the original donkey owner, and one person the original cow owner. And they decide they want to switch. So Hamachlif Para Bechamor. The one who owns the donkey makes a kinyan on the cow. So again, I don't want to use Reuben and Shimon because we'll get confused. I'll use the donkey owner, and when I say the donkey owner, I mean the original donkey owner, and when I say the cow owner, I mean the original cow owner. So you have the cow owner and the donkey owner, the one who exchanged their animals. The cow owner says, I need a donkey. The donkey owner says, I need a cow. So in order for this to go through, they both don't have to do a meshicha. They don't both have to do a kinyan. Only one of them does a kinyan, and then al-gad, the other one, is automatically kone the other animal. So if the original owner of the donkey goes and does a meshicha on the parah, umoshach bal hachamor es parah, so now he owns the parah. He did a kinyan meshicha on it. He pulled it towards him. He now owns the parah. Simultaneously, the original owner of the cow now owns the donkey. Great. If both animals are alive and well, the kinyan is done. There's no argument. However, we only find out, since the cow was here, and he did the kinyan on the cow, but the donkey was in the barn, the donkey was out in the field, and we didn't know at that moment in time whether it was alive or not. We then go to it later on, and we see it's dead. The bal hapara never had a chance to actually take the live donkey, because it was dead when he got to it. The donkey was dead when he got to it. So the question is, when did the kinyan meshicha that the owner of the donkey did on the cow occur? Did it occur before the donkey died, and then it's a perfectly valid kinyan that was made, and he owns a donkey, and it's his tough luck that the donkey now died? Or do we say, no, that the pulling of the cow was already done when the donkey was dead, and therefore there is no kinyan, because the donkey is dead, and therefore the original owner of the donkey still owns the donkey, which is dead, and the original owner of the cow has not lost his cow. So that's the question. Who has to bring a raya in this situation? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Al Baal HaChamor Lohavi Raya. The Baal Chamor, the original owner of the donkey, has to go and bring a raya that his animal was alive. And this way, when he did the Meshicha on the cow, that cow belongs to him. And the dead donkey, tough luck. Nistavko Sadeyu. That occurred when you owned the donkey, he tells the owner of the cow, the original owner of the cow. And tough luck. Sorry, your donkey died. Not my donkey. Your donkey died. Shoya chamoro kayam bishas mishichas parah. Because he tainas that the animal was still alive. The chamor was still alive at the time of the mishich on the parah. And therefore, the original owner of the donkey says, I own the cow. And my donkey was alive at that time. And sorry, you now own your own dead donkey. So it's the responsibility of the Baal HaChamor to bring the raya. Betana tuna kala. And in addition, we learned the same, the Tana learned our Mishnah in the same way. And we're dealing with the mum of a kala, it's analogous to this din that Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel brought down. So again, let's summarize. Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel is telling us over here that it is the responsibility of the one who did the Mashicha, the Baal HaChamor, who did the Mashicha. And now, when he does the Mashicha, the parah is in his possession. He's the muhzak on the parah. And normally we say, Amotzi b'chaver olav raya. Normally we would say that the other person has to take it out of his possession. See, here we don't say that. Here, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul tells us that even though the Baal HaChamor is now muhzak in the cow, nevertheless, since we don't know when the donkey died, we don't know when the chamor died, we leave it in the last possession that it was, what we call the Marakama. And we leave it in the Marakama's possession, which is the original owner of the cow. So even though the original owner of the cow doesn't have the cow in his possession anymore, we halachically view it as if it still belongs to the original owner of the cow. And the raya has to be brought by the original owner of the donkey to say that his donkey was alive at the time that the original owner of the donkey did the mashicha on the para, on the cow. And that is analogous, it says, Vatana Tuna Kala, and our Mishnah is a right to that, it's the exact same thing. Our Mishnah supports this Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, from the din of the Kala with the Mum, it supports it. So the Gemara says, hey Kala, what example of the Kala are we talking about? Is it the Reisha, where it's dealing with the father, or is it dealing with the Sefer, where it's dealing with the daughter, and that the husband has to bring the Raya, and the Reisha, the father has to go bring the Raya. Now, Ilema, and we turn to Ayin Vav Amud Beis, but I'm going to continue reading in Rashi on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Ilema Kala Bivei Savia. If we're talking about the Reisha, where we're dealing with the Kala, is in the Beis Savia. She's in Arusa, but she's still in her father's house, under his domain, to a certain extent, hasn't yet become a Nesua. So, let's read Rashi. Read this. A lot of the Rashi is inside over here to make it easier to understand. So, if you're dealing over here with the Kala Bavei Savia, the first case of the Mishnah, Reisha the Masnisin, Shubo Ledin Beoda Arusa, we're dealing here that she's still in Arusa. Diktonio Av Tzorch Leviraya, and we want to bring a proof to the case of the cow and the donkey from the fact that the father is the one that has to bring the raya. And we're going like the first explanation of our Mishnah, that's Tavra, the author of the Reisha, which is Rabbi Yoshua, is not the author of the Sefer, which is Rabban Gamliel. And we're dealing over here, and according to the author of the Reisha, Rabbi Yoshua, even in the Sefer, it wouldn't be the husband that would have to bring the raya, it's always the woman who has to bring the raya. So is la litana dereisha sha'av tzorach lo biraya in both cases, in the first case and in the second case. So the afa pi shelo nolat sofik birishuso, even though the sofik didn't occur in his domain, the sofik only occurred in the sefer, in the domain of the husband. Alma, nevertheless, eino gove mamun mi sofik. You can't take mamun al sofik. Oh, and that's exactly the case of the donkey and the cow. Vahinami. Lo yachzik b'poras chaveiro misafik. Even though the Baal HaChamor did a kinyan mashicha and the parah is muchzak to him, but we can't view that as being in his possession. The afal gav shasafik b'shus chaveiro nolad shari kvar nasis mashicha. And even though he's a muchzak right now, but we say we go and return it back to the status it had beforehand. Who was the marakama? That was the original owner of the cow. Is considered the marakama. And the Baal HaChamor, even though he's the muchzak on it right now, has to bring a raya if he wishes to go and collect and maintain this cow in his possession. That is the understanding over here of the kala. That's how it's a raya. That's what the Gemara wants to suggest right now. But the Gemara says that's wrong. Gemara says, mi dami, that's not analogous. Because hasam, in the case with the father and the ksuba, so maise av raya, the father brings a raya, umefik, and he takes the ksuba from the possession of the husband. However, in our case, hacha, Maisi Baal HaChmor Araya. Here, the Baal HaChmor has to bring a raya that his donkey was alive. He can bring witnesses that his donkey was alive at the time of the Mashiach. And what happens? Umokim, and he keeps it within his chazaka. So here, the Mochsak has to bring a raya to maintain it in his possession. As opposed to the father, he's bringing a raya to take it from the chazaka, the status where it is in the Baal. So therefore, the two aren't analogous. So Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Abba, the case of our Mishnah, the Kala, is talking about the Seifa. Kala Beveis Chamiya. We're dealing over here with the Kala in her new husband's house after the Nisuin. As Rashi points out over here in Dibra Maslo, Kala Beveis Chamiya, Seifa the Masnisin. Diktani, Al HaBa'ala V'Rayit. We're talking here about the Seifa. And again, the Rabban Gamliel Amra, this is going according to the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, Upalig Nami Reisha, who argues in the Reisha as well. This is according to the opinion that Rabbi Gamliel is the author of the entire Mishnah. So he argues in the Sefer as well as in the Reisha with Rabbi Yeshua. And he says, Afilu nimtzu b'vei savia. And he says, even in the Reisha, where it would be in the father's house still, the girl, his daughter, is still in his domain, and still in the father's house, hasn't yet had the Nisuin. The lo no lat safek b'rishuso. And even though the safek didn't occur in the Baal's domain, Nami alabal haviraya lafkia koach ksubasa. The husband would still, according to Rabbi Gamliel, have to bring a raya if he doesn't want to pay the ksuba. And this is the raya zu lo lahotzihi. This raya is not to go take money, but it's to maintain the money. El lahachsik. Oh, bitzarich lavia. So this is analogous to the case of the donkey owner who has to bring a raya that the donkey was still alive, so he can maintain his chazaka of having done the Mashiach on the cow. So too, the Baal maintains his chazaka that he has the money. So therefore, in both situations, this is analogous. Moore says, it's still not. V'akati lo domi. This is still not good, because hasam Baal ma'is iraya. There, the husband is bringing iraya. Umar alei l'chaske di'av. And he's ruining the chazaka of the father that the mum occurred during the time after Erisin, and therefore nistavcha sadeyu of the husband. So he's bringing Uriah the Baal to ruin the chazaka of the father. But here, in the case of the cow and the donkey, hacha Baal HaChamor, the original donkey owner, has to bring Uriah that the donkey was alive, and that would support the Baal HaChamor of Maisi Uriah to allow him to keep what he currently has, which is the cow in his possession. So it's not the same. The rayas over here are different. The first case, again, the Baal's bringing a raya to weaken the chazaka of the father. In the second case, he's bringing a raya to support his own chazaka. So therefore, that's not analogous. So what is the case? So Amar Reb Nachman Yitzchak, you know what we're talking about, it's kala beveis avia. We're dealing over here with the kala while she's still in her father's house, ulikidushin, and we're dealing over here not with the ksuba money. We're dealing with the husband gave this kala, kesef kidushin, which belongs to the father because she's a young girl. Does he have the right to keep that? That's the question. Now, this is according to every opinion, even the opinion that says the kidushin money can never be returned. Don't say that this is only a question according to the opinion that says Kiddushin can be returned, that the Kiddushin is not given over definitively. As we see in the Mesorah Seshas L'tivu in Nitnu, he brings down in Oz Beis, Pirish Inyan Tuviyah V'Avadon, that it's like sunk and lost. So don't say this is only according to the opinion that says Kiddushin money can be sometimes returned. No, even according to the opinion, Ella, Afilu leman diomer, the kedushin money is forever given over and it's gone, letibu in nidnu, and it can't ever be returned. That's only hanimila kedushin vaday. That's only if the kedushin are definitely a vaday kedushin. But here, we're not sure when the mumim occurred. Kedushin toes. This is kedushin toes. So therefore, if the father is able to bring a raya, imai siraya, great, he gets to keep the kedushin money. But if the father can't bring a raya, ilo, so then lo, he's not able to go and keep the kedushin money. So that's what we want to say is our understanding over here, how kala is a raya to the case of the donkey and the chamor exchange. Here, the father was the muksuk on the money. And nevertheless, he has to bring a raya in order to be able to retain that. So too, the owner of the donkey has to bring a raya that the donkey was alive in order for him to retain the possession of the cow, which he already owns. Oh, This is exactly analogous. Mar says, not so fast. Meisve, a Braisa says that that's not the case. What is this Braisa? This Braisa deals with a trefa. Trefa, there are a number, there's 18 different types of trefa that are brought down in the Gemara in Chulin, and one of them is a certain type of a piercing of various parts of the intestinal tract. And here we're specifically talking about the ove beis hakosos. The ove beis hakosos is a certain area in the four-compartment stomach of a ruminant animal, like a cow. So there is a thickened part of the third stomach called the ove beis hakosos, which is so thick that you could have a puncture on one side that doesn't go through and through to the other side. So if you find the needle, after you shech the animal, you find the needle in the beis hakosos. Machat, a needle, shenim says ove beis hakosos. So did this not make the animal into a trefa? So, mitzad echad, if you only have the needle visible on one side, it doesn't go through and through to the other side, so then ksheira. If there's a puncture in only part of the ove beis hakosos, so it's a very thick area, it's not going to cause the animal to die. It's a puncture that doesn't have consequences to it, so to say, in terms of the animal's longevity. And therefore, the animal is still considered a kosher animal. If you shechted it, it's still a kosher animal, can be eaten. However, if it goes through and through, mishnei tzadim, needle is long enough, and it's in a place in the ove beis hakosos where it can be seen on both sides, so then that's considered a puncture. A puncture makes the animal into a trefa, and therefore the animal is trefa, and it can't be eaten. It's not kosher. Okay. What happens if it's nimtza alea koret dam? If you find blood, now either it's talking about blood on the needle or blood on the area of the puncture. So obviously, it only bleeds before the animal is dead. So therefore, if you find blood there, biyadua shehu lifnei shechita, this puncture occurred before the animal was shechted, and therefore the animal was actually purchased as a trefa, and therefore the one who bought it is allowed to say mekachtos. I thought I was buying a kosher animal. I didn't intend to buy a trefa animal, and therefore I get my money back. However, lo nimtza alea koret dam, if you don't find any blood on it, so then biyadua shuliach hashchita. Obviously, you see a puncture there and there's no blood on it, so obviously the puncture occurred after the shchita, and this is not a trefa. This is a perfectly kosher animal, and therefore the animal's sale was a valid sale. It's not a mekachtos, and the animal's kosher. Now, hu glad piyamaka, and here's where we get to our question. If there is a scab there, if there's huglad, there's a collection of the secretions that have congealed and are basically making a scar, like a scab, at the site of the penetration. So if this is called huglad piyamaka, the point where the perforation occurred is now scarred over, so it's obvious that that occurred during the lifetime of the animal. It was starting to heal, and it takes a certain amount of time for that to occur. That this puncture occurred at least 3 days before the shechita of the animal, and therefore, when the person who was shechting this cow bought it from the owner of the cow, he was clearly, if he bought it within the last 3 days, he purchased an animal that was a trefa, and therefore it's a mekachtos, and he's entitled to get his money back. However, lohu glad piyamaka, if there is no scab formation over there, the tissue has clearly not been healing for a certain number of days, so we don't know when this puncture occurred. It could have occurred after the sale, or could have occurred before the sale. So now we have to say, hamotzi mecheveiro olavaraya. In this situation, you leave the animal in whose possession it is, and the person who's saying, hey, I didn't mean to go and purchase a trefa, I want my money back, has to prove that it really was a trefa, and then he gets his money back. But if he can't prove it's a trefa, so then the other person can say, no, when I sold it to you, it wasn't a trefa. It became a trefa under your watch, and therefore it's your tough luck, buddy. And therefore, hamotzi mechaver olav raya. If you want to extract money, you have to go bring a raya. Now, if we're dealing with the yohiv tabach demei, if you're telling me that the guy, the tabach, the one who's going to shech this, the butcher, purchased this animal, and he paid money for it, so then boy, lasuya raya umafik. He would have to go bring a raya that it was already a trefa when he bought it, and therefore he gets his money back. How come? According to you, Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel v'amai, baal behema laisi raya v'nokim. The owner of the animal, the original owner of the animal, should have to bring a raya that this occurred after he has sold it, and only then would he be able to keep the money. So if you're dealing with the butcher having paid the guy that sold the animal, so then, based upon what Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel said, the raya should be upon the seller and not upon the purchaser, the butcher. So obviously that's a problem. So Gemara says, no. You know what we're talking about? He never paid him money. Bidelo yoev tabach odmei. He never paid him for it. So therefore, it is the seller who's demanding the money. Oh, That's exactly analogous to our case. The person, the Bala Hamor in our case, who claims that he's owning the cow, so he has to go bring a raya, and then he gets to keep it. So too, the seller over here says, I want the money, so he has to go bring a raya in order to be able to go keep it. Where says, but wait a second, my Poska, why are you telling me that this is a case where he didn't pay the money? It's just as likely that he paid the money. Why are you insisting that the case be learned that he didn't pay the money? That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, we have a problem to understand this entire thing the way Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said it. And now, along comes Rabbi Yehuda's brother. We've mentioned many times, we had this earlier in the Masechta and other places as well, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rami were brothers. They were both the sons of Yecheskel. So Rabbi Yehuda by Yecheskel and Rami by Yecheskel are two brothers. So Rami by Yecheskel now comes along. Elokiyosa, Rami by Yecheskel, and Rami by Yecheskel came from Eretz Yisrael. To Bavel, he said, oh my, don't listen to my brother. Lo titzai sinu lahane klali de chayil Yehuda ochi mishmei de Shmuel. Don't listen to what my brother said in the name of Shmuel. He's wrong. This is in fact what Shmuel said. Ochi Mishmuel, the exact opposite. Ko shalom lat sofek birishuso all of the raya. If the sofek occurred while it was in your domain, then you have to go bring the raya. In other words, the person who owned the cow, he has to go bring a raya in order to say that the donkey died first, before the Mashiach. Otherwise, it's considered in the possession of the Baal HaChamor. And the owner of the cow has to bring the raya, not the owner of the donkey has to bring the raya. The exact opposite, Pum Faker, what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Wherever the Sofek occurred, he's the one that has to go bring the raya. And therefore, our Mishnah is in accord with this. V'tana tuna kala. Now, again, we're going to bring the same raya from the brisa that we brought down about the treifa to argue with Rami Bar Yecheskel. Nesve, bring down that brisa as well. Machat shenim says, Ovi Beis HaKosos v'chulei, that whole story where you found the machat that perforated the Beis HaKosos, the Ovi Beis HaKosos, and it went through and through, so then it's a treifa. If it didn't go through and through, it's not a treifa. Then there was higlid, so then it definitely occurred within the last 3 days, so therefore it's a mekach tohos. So if you're going to tell me, vi the lo yov tabuch dome, if you're telling me that the butcher did not pay for it yet, so then bala behema boil asuya raya umapik. So then the original owner of the animal, the one who sold the animal, he has to be in the raya that the animal wasn't a trade for when he sold it, and then he's allowed to go and extract the money from the butcher. How come? Vamai sveka b'shus tabach hisyalit. The suffek occurred while it was in the possession of the tabach. So why does the tabach have to bring the raya according to Rami Yecheskel? So it says, you know what? Do you have tabach tame? He already paid the money, and now he wants to get his money back. He says, hey, you sold me a treifa, and I want to get my money back. So in this situation, the suffix occurred in his possession, so the tabach has to go bring the raya that it was already a treifa in order for him to get his money back. So here we're dealing with the definitive, the yov tabach dame. So we're going to ask the same question as well. My paska, why are you saying that it definitely was a case that the tabach paid the money? Maybe it's all my case, the lo yov tabach dame. So he says, no. It makes sense to say, stamo de milsa. It makes sense to say that people don't just take stuff on credit. You're dealing with $1,000 cow. So you're not going to say, sure, pay me when you want. You can say cash up front. You give me the cash, I give you the cow. So that's the default position that we are dealing with. Paska, that is definitely Yoav Tabuch Tmei, that the Tabuch definitely gave the money. If the Tabuch gave the money, now we understand why Rami Bar Yecheskel says that the Nolat Sofek Birishu So, the Sofek occurred while it was already in the possession of the butcher, so he has to bring a Raya in order for him to get his money back. If he doesn't bring a Raya, so then he doesn't get his money back. Rami Bar Yecheskel works out very, very well. And that's the way he would understand Shmuel's statement. Okay, again, this was quite complicated, but Baruch Hashem, we're going to go weiter. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, V'chachamim amrim, that the type of mum that we're dealing with, b'med var mamurim, we have a machlokes, b'mumim shebeseisa. These are only mumim that are found in parts of the body that are normally covered up. So therefore, the husband isn't expected to know about them. But in mumim that are visible, so then we say that the husband has to bring a proof that it occurred prior to the erusin in order for him not to pay the ksuba. Now, Amr Rav Nachman says, and we turn to Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. how do we view a certain type of illness known as nichpe? Rashi says, choli shemimenu nofel la'aretz. This is an illness for which you fall to the ground. And this sounds like epilepsy. V'yesh lo zman lavo. And it occurs at certain periods of time. People get epilepsy, nebuchadnezzar can occur at any point in time, but sometimes there's certain things that can trigger it, and you know when it's going to come. So the statement for Rav Nachman is that this type of epilepsy is considered like a mum shebisei serdami. It's considered like a concealed mum. Why is that? Because, as Rashi says, v'yesh lo zman lavo. You know it comes at a certain time. Let's say every time the woman begins to menstruate, she knows it's going to come. Every time that the sun is in the middle of the day, then you know it's going to come. So she has seizures that are based upon some predictable factor, and therefore the woman can hide herself and not have the seizure when anybody witnesses it. And therefore, such seizures, the nichpe kemumim shebisei sodomi, this is not something that the husband would be expected to know about because she's able to hide it. And therefore, Rashi says, Lafishin is eris biyom zmana milotzes bein abrios. When she knows she's going to have the seizure, she's due to have a seizure, maybe she gets an aura beforehand, so she knows she's going to have the seizure, so she hides herself and doesn't present with the seizure, so nobody knows about it. So a seizure is considered like a mum shebeseisa. There's no way the husband can know about it. Except, the Gemara says, Vahani mili de kriya lezman. That's only if its seizure comes at a set time, a regular time, where it's brought on by a certain condition, so the woman could conceal it. However, if it doesn't come at a set time, it could suddenly come on, like most seizures, a sudden onset, and you have no necessary premonitory type of symptoms. There's no aura, there's no warning that it's going to come. So then, this is kimumim shebegali domi. And therefore, if she had this type of epilepsy, mistama, the husband knew about it, the husband accepted it, and you can't come with a tiny afterwards and say, no, I can't accept this. So this is how epilepsy would be understood in accordance with our Mishnah. Let's go weiter a little bit more to the next Mishnah. Ha'ish shenoldu bo mumin. Here in this Mishnah, we're dealing with a case where a man has a mum, and the lashon in our Mishnah is noldu, that implies that it came after marriage. We'll see in a moment there's a machlokis as to what the gerusa in our Mishnah is. Should it be noldu or hayu? So right now we'll keep the gerusa that we have. Ha'ish shenoldu bo mumin, a man who got mumim, certain types of blemishes, after they're married. So ein kofen oso lahotzi. We don't force him to go give his wife a divorce. In other words, if the wife says, I can't stand these mumim, we don't force the husband to go and give her a divorce. Now, Tosus in the top Tosus brings down, Gabi ish, lekalamemar dinistavcha soder shalisha. As opposed to by the woman, we say, if the mum occurred after the erisin, so we say, nistavcha sodeyu, that tough luck to the husband. He got, unfortunately, the short end of the stick. This happened under his domain, and he's held accountable for it. We don't say the same thing. The woman is not considered to be that the husband's in the domain of the wife, and therefore it's tough luck on her. We don't say that. Deish ain't saw der shalishta. We don't apply the same rationale when it comes to the woman. She's in a much better position, as the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the Masechta. So there is no concern of it's tough luck under her watch, so to say, under her domain, that the husband got the mum. So number one, that's the difference between whether the mum occurs to the woman or woman occurs to the man. So in the case where the mum occurred to the man, so the Tanna Kamma says we don't apply this rule of nistavcha sodeh shel isha, but nevertheless, we don't force the husband to go and give her a get. But Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, yes we do. I agree with you that we don't force the husband to give the wife a get if there's small, little, minor mumim. But abu b'mumim gedolim, if there's something significant, they're large mumim, so then kofin oso lahotzi, we do force him to go and divorce his wife. And as the second Tosa says, kofin oso lahotzi, so nearly read the osi v'tin ksuba, that not only does he have to give her a divorce, but he also has to give her the ksuba, even though afu b'ishim agar shobal karcho, even though he's not doing this voluntarily. And one could argue then that he shouldn't have to give the ksuba. Therefore, nevertheless, he has to give the ksuba. And in fact, and the Tosa says, in the Tosepta, Tani Behedja, it says Befeirish in the Tosepta, Amumim Dehacha, for this large mumim, Yotzi, he can give her a divorce. Again, if she wants it, he has to give her a divorce, V'yitin ksuba. And certainly he has to give her the ksuba, even if he doesn't want to divorce her, if she demands a divorce because these mumim are too difficult, so then he has to give her a divorce, and basically will force him to give her the divorce, and force him to give the ksuba. Now, the Gemara starts off and tells us there were two different girusas over here. Rav Yehuda, Tani Noldu, like the girusa that we had, was the girusa that the Amora Rav Yehuda had in the Mishnah, that the man developed, Tani Noldu, he had developed this mumim, as opposed to the girusa that Chiya Barav had was Tani Hoyu. He had this mumim, implying that he had them even before they were married. So, the Gemara says, Man Di Amora Noldu, according to Rav Yehuda, certainly, if you're telling me that the Tanakhama says you don't have to give a divorce in this situation, if they're new, so certainly, Kol Shekein Hayu, if he had them beforehand, the woman can't demand the divorce right now. The husband doesn't have to go divorce if he doesn't want to. Because we certainly would say, the Kasavra Vikibla, she knew about them, she thought about it, and she said, I'll be married to him even if he has this woman. Therefore, she can't demand the divorce. Not only in the case of Hayu, but even in the case of Noldu. The other way around, however, according to Rav Chia Bar Rav, he says, according to Mandi Omar Hayu, that the Girsa should be Hayu, it's only if they were present beforehand that she can't demand the divorce. I will know do, but if they're new, then lo. Even the Tanakam would say that she can demand the divorce. But our Mishnah seems to go against Chia Bar Rav. Tanan, our Mishnah said, Omar Shimon Gamliel, the man of Omar Murim, he qualifies it and said, only B'mumim Ketanim can the Tanakama say that you can't demand the divorce. Abu B'mumim Gedolim, the Tanakama would agree that you can demand the divorce. Kovanus Olahotzi. And as we pointed out from Tosos, even give the Ksuba. So now this works out great according to Rav Yehuda. Bishlam Lamandi Omar Noldu, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that it was Noldu as the Girsa. So then we certainly can understand that there's a difference. Bishlam Lamandi Omar Noldu, Hainu, Dishaini, Ben Gedolim Miktana. We can understand there's a difference between her ability to accept a small mum and her saying, I can't accept a large mum because they're new. Ella, Lamandi Omar Hayu, according to Chia Bar Rav, what difference does it make? Malik Dolim, Malik Tan, what does it make if they're large or they're small? She accepted them. Hasavra Vikibla. So what difference does it make if it's a large mum or it's a small mum? If you hold that they were present beforehand and she accepted them, so why should it make a difference whether they're mum and kitanim or mum and gedolim? So the Gemara says, no. Kisvura he, she originally thought I could tolerate it. She holul kabel, but then the Asha, once she's already married to him, she says, any holul kabel, I cannot stand this large mumim. I thought I could, but I can't. And that's why even Chia Bar Rav would say that our Mishnah makes sense. How do we paskin? So the Gemara says, what are these mumim gedolim? The Elohe mumim gedolim. Give me examples of what's considered a big, significant mum. So Pirush Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells us, the box says that this is a brisa. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says in this brisa, Kigon, for example, three examples of what a mumim gedolim are. Nisseseno, he became blind. Seems to imply it's only one eye, Eino, one of his eyes. Even one of his eyes would be considered a major mum. Or Nikta Yado, his hand nebuch got cut off. Or the Nishparagla, or his leg was broken. His legs and stomach not functioning. It's not talking about if he had a break, put on a cast, and it's all better. So these three are examples, the Braisa says, what Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold would be a mum gadol, a large size mum, that the woman would have the right to say, I cannot tolerate this. How do we paskin? So Yitmar, it's brought down by Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov in the name of Yochanan, or Yochanan, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We paskin, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that whether it's Noldu or Hayu, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chia Bar Rav, so whichever way you hold, that machlokas would be over here, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that for large mumim, the woman is entitled to go and demand the divorce. And basin will force the husband to give her the divorce, and as we pointed out, force her to give the ksuba. Whereas Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, disagrees. He says, halacha kedivrei chachamim. The halacha is like the chachamim. I should point out that there is a girsa over here from the Ritva that says that the original opinion of Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov of Rabbi Yochanan is Ein Halacha Ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And you have to learn this next piece of Gemara in a totally different way. But we'll keep it nice and simple just with our girsa that we have. So Gemara now questions, why would Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov have to say this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Umi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov really quote Rabbi Yochanan correctly? After all, don't we know that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is as follows? Rabbi Bar Chanan said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan always holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel with three exceptions. Whenever you find Rabbi Shimon Gamliel making a statement in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan always passes like it with only three exceptions, and ours is not one of those exceptions. What are those situations? Halacha Kabosu in general, except for Chutz Me'arev. That's a din as to whether you follow and can collect from the Arev, the guarantor of a loan, or not. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that you're not allowed to go collect from the Arev ever first. You always have to go collect from the one that you borrowed the money from. He has to go and pay you back first. If he can't pay you back, so then you're allowed to go collect from the guarantor. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you're allowed to even go collect from the Arev first if you want. So that's one machlokas in regards to Arev, where we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Every place else we do. The second one is a maiso shahaya bitsaida, inside the name of the city. And what was this mice over there? There was a machlokas over there about a woman who was given a get, and the get was al tanai. The tanai said that you'll get your get if you give a certain article of clothing to the husband. But then that article of clothing was lost. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it's okay, you can fulfill the tanai by just giving the money, the monetary value of the clothing. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, if you can't give that exact item of clothing, so then the get is invalid. So that's the second one. We paskin Rav Yochanan says like the Chachamim, not like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And the third one is what's called Uraya Achrona. Uraya Achrona is a certain case that where there are two cases, and this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Iflige ba'amru lo kol rayel sheyesh lechol havi haba havei ad shloshim yom below havei ad liachas shloshim yom. They were having a discussion between the litigants. He said, "I'll bring you a raya. I'll bring it within 30 days." And he doesn't bring it within 30 days. He brings it after 30 days. Ba'amru lo havi raya ba'amar ein li raya. On the second case was that they asked him to bring a raya, and he says he doesn't have one, and then he subsequently brings one. So in the first case, we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we allow the raya to be brought even after the 30 days. In the second case, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who accepts the raya that's brought even after he said, I don't have a raya. So in any event, chutz may orei v'tzaydon uraya achrona, these are the only three exceptions that Rav Yochanan doesn't paskin Rav Shimon Gamliel. So if that's true, why did Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov say in the name of Rav Yochanan that the halacha here is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Isn't that obvious? So where it says, no, it's not so obvious. There's a machlokas as to what Rabbi Yochanan said. You're right. Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov said over here that Loch is like Rav Shimon Gamliel because he doesn't hold from that which Rabbi Bar Yochanan said in the name of Yochanan that the Loch is always like Rabbi Gamliel except in those three cases. So Rabbi Bar Yochanan would not have found it necessary to say that the Loch is gepasik like Rav Yochanan in this situation because it's always like Rav Shimon Gamliel according to Rav Yochanan. But Rabbi Bar Yaakov has to say over here that Rav Yochanan paskins like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel because he doesn't hold that the halacha is always like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.